Amen. Well, good morning, guys. It's absolutely wonderful to be with you all this morning. It's lovely and crisp outside. It's nice and fresh. And it's a real privilege and a real blessing to be able to share just a few thoughts this morning from the Word of God. Thank you so much for inviting us. And it was a joy just to journey over. We didn't have to travel too far. But it was a lovely journey. Could you just play, just in the background, just for a moment, if that's okay, just while I'm finding my place. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible, can you turn to the book of Mark? If you've not got a Bible, that is quite okay. And I'm going to just be pulling a few thoughts this morning from a story of a life which really needed God to intervene. And the title to my message this morning is Faith to Believe. Amen. I'm just going to take this off because I like to wander around. Faith to Believe. Amen. Right then. There was a woman, and she's not named, there's no name to this woman, but the issue this woman was facing was named. And this woman had an issue, and this issue didn't just last for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. This issue lasted for 12 years. The Bible says it was 12 years, and she was struggling with an issue of blood. And we don't know what that condition was, but she had consulted so many different doctors. She was looking for a solution. But the solutions weren't coming. She was going to the right people. She was investing not just time, but her finances into finding a remedy for the situation. But the Bible teaches that she wasn't growing better. She was growing worse. And I've been in a place and a space like that where I've had issues in my life, and we would like somehow for the issues to just disappear and for us to step into, I am better now. And this it was 12 years she was praying for and believing for a miracle for 12 years, but this miracle wasn't happening. And you know, sometimes I'm praying for miracles and breakthroughs and turnarounds in life situations. And if anyone's like me, do we have to struggle through life sometimes? Can I have a word? Amen. And sometimes we're forced into that place of prayer going, oh, I just want things to change. How long am I going to have to go through what I'm going through? You know, and sometimes we need to grow through what we go through. And I've learned so many principles of having to go through issues which are unpleasant. And sometimes I'm thinking, why? And I bet this woman was in a place saying, why is this happening to me? Why am I having to live this lifestyle? Why am I having to struggle with what I'm struggling with? Can I have an amen? Amen. Because sometimes life is a little bit messy, and that's okay. Because life is messy at times. You know, I know what it's like. Life's messy. I've got a 2-year-old living at home. You know, all of a sudden the living room is lovely. And then the next minute, Rory's there and there's toys everywhere and it gets messy. And I like my living room to be tidy, but that's okay. Amen. And I just want to talk about a few principles out of the Word of God, if that's okay this morning. And Hebrews 11 says this, now faith is confidence. Let's all say confidence. Because this woman must have lacked confidence because she'd gone to the doctors and the doctors didn't have a solution. She'd waited for so many years and she was getting worse. So one day she heard, and I like this, she heard a story. And stories are incredibly powerful because one of the best learning principles is we learn by stories. And Jesus told so many different stories and illustrations to help us live through life's messes. Amen. And it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. See, faith builds confidence in his lives. And I remember I was in a place where I needed confidence to be built into my life. And this woman who had an issue, not just for 1 year, and we know how many years, it was 12 years. She needed to have a release of confidence into her life, that her life could turn around, that she could experience transformation and that she could experience healing. But she needed confidence to be built into her life. And confidence came through a story. She heard that Jesus could heal people. And this was a fresh breath of air into her world, where she'd experienced is disappointment. All she'd experienced were, well, things just start getting any better. And she wasn't settling for things that are getting better, because she was a woman who had a solution mindset. She wasn't looking at the problem. She was looking at a solution. She was being innovative. She was being creative. She's thinking, you know, I don't want to stay in this place. I want to be able to reach out, because I believe that I've got a better tomorrow. I've got a better future in my life. Amen. And we need to be people who can press through the mess of the present and reach into the glories of the future, believing that you've got a better tomorrow. Amen. And I was in the same place. I was believing I've got a better tomorrow. You might be thinking, well, what do you mean? For years, I was addicted to heroin. And I was thinking, I'd gone to the doctors and they'd put me on so many different medications, and I became addicted to all these other medications, and life wasn't getting any better for me. But then I heard a story. And this story was a story of some loving Christians who came around my world and said, Jesus can change you. Jesus can set you free from your addiction. And I'm not a churchgoer, friends. I'd never really been to church. In fact, church, the picture of church was this. It was a guy dressed like Batman. You walked across a load of graveyards. You went into the church and the dude's wearing a black cape, which looks so cool. And he's freezing cold and it's irrelevant. It's got no meaning. It's not going to change my life. But there was this woman and she had something about her. I would say it was like a spring in a step. There was something which was magnetic about this woman, which caused me to somehow engage in a faith journey. Somehow faith started to become alive on the inside of me, and the hope became a real thing. And confidence started to rise up, thinking something can happen, something can change. Because she kept telling me, your life can be changed. And I'm thinking, I want it to be changed. But I've done everything I can to somehow try and make the change to step into a better tomorrow. But it's just not happening. I took one step forward and 10 steps backwards. It was like sweeping, are you ready for this, water uphill. I was putting all the effort into trying to sweep the water uphill, and I wasn't getting any forward momentum in my life. And I remember reading this story thinking, well, this woman is in the same place as me. She's experiencing things not going forward. She's experiencing disappointment. And I want to just say this morning, if you are wrestling with disappointment, that's okay. Because I remember I was struggling with disappointment. And disappointment is just a horrible thing to wrestle through. It gets you all tangled in so many different emotions. But I didn't park in the lay-by of disappointment. I chose to overcome disappointment. And, you know, I remember I had this thought, just I had a light bulb moment. If anyone's had a light bulb moment, I felt it was like God was speaking into my world. And I felt this phrase, disappointment isn't my plan for your life. My plan for your life is to overcome disappointment. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. It wasn't saying I'm going to remove the things which are causing you to be disappointed. It says I'm going to give you the ability to be able to rise above your disappointment. And I've started to live in a place where faith has given me the confidence to be able to rise up and move forward. And this is what happened to this woman. Faith somehow rose up on the inside of her. It rose up above the confidence. The disappointment. It rose above the natural mindsets. Well, I've tried everything, but nothing seeming to work. Have you ever been in that place? Everything you try to do, you try to make it work, and it's just not working. And I was in that place, but I heard a story. And faith built confidence. It built a certainty on the inside of me. It built an assurance which has been unshakable throughout my life. I have got an assurance that God will come through for me no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through. I know that God is always with me. Even before I was a Christian, I know that God was working and loving me because the Bible teaches goodness. Everyone say goodness. Oh, I like goodness. You know, when we start to think goodness, oh, it's just wonderful. Goodness and mercy follow me all. Everyone say all. All the days of my life. So that means even before I was a Christian, Psalm 23 was teaching me that God was there even when I wasn't believing in him. And I'm the type of guy, I've always believed in God. You know, I was never a bad criminal, really. I was messed up on drugs. But I'd always believed in God. But there was a tipping point in my experience when faith built up such a confidence and assurance that things are going to turn out better. Things are going to change. So I made a step like this woman made a step in Mark chapter 5. She heard that Jesus could change her life. And friends, I want to tell you this morning, no matter what you're facing, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, Jesus can bring transformation. Jesus can make a way when there seems to be no way. Martin Luther King said this. I love this. We must have the faith that we must have the faith that things will work out somehow, that God will make a way for us when there seems to be no way. And the Bible is full of stories of God making a way when there seems to be no way. Just think of Moses, if you've ever heard the story of the Red Sea. There was a sea. It's impossible. He wasn't an expert swimmer. He wasn't gonna do a channel swim. And God says, I want you to lift your staff, and I'm going to make a way for you, which seems to be. And he must have been thinking, my Lord, how is this going to happen? And God made a way when there seemed to be no way. He had a Charlton Heston moment. He raised his staff. Boom. His hair was blowing back in the wind. If I had hair, hair would be blowing back in the wind. And the sea parted. It was an amazing moment. Everyone was looking at mighty man of God, lion tamer. And it didn't happen like that. Moses raised his staff, boom, and nothing happened. It was in the cover of darkness. He couldn't see God working a miracle. He couldn't see God parting the Red Sea. And if you know the story of Moses, he was the instant miracle worker. He did miracles all the time. And here he is in a moment. And God doesn't seem to be making a way. But he felt an easterly wind, which God had sent, the Bible teaches in the book of Exodus, which started to part the Red Sea. Sometimes we don't see God work the miracle, but God is always working for the best outcome in our lives. Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah. And I remember a quick story. My little girl, Amy, when she was tiny, she was at preschool. She once came home and she came home. She says, Daddy, I've got some knots in my shoelaces. And I looked at the knots in the shoelaces, and I want to tell you the truth right now, is I was thinking, this is an impossible situation I am facing. I wanted to be super dad, but I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to buy her some new shoelaces, and I'm going to throw the shoelaces in the bin. And she looked at me, and she goes, I believe in you, Daddy. And as soon as she said, I believe in you, Daddy, I want to tell you, I had a Superman moment. I went and found the first telephone box and the doors which go around, the revolving doors, and I went around and I came out like Superman. Why? Because Amy, there was something in her voice. She said, I believe in you. And it caused this superhero to emerge. And I'm thinking, there was knots upon knots upon knots, and I didn't know how to untangle the knots. I am an expert in untangling knots. In fact, I had a defeatist attitude, but as soon as she placed her faith in Super Dad, I'm thinking, I'm going to do this. I am going to untangle these knots. And I want to declare, I untangled every single one of them knots. I felt amazing. In fact, I felt like I was walking on water. I thought, this is what life's. I have hit the perfect pitch of being a daddy today. And I walked off feeling excellent. 2 weeks later, she came back with more laces which needed to be untangled. I goes, I've got this covered. You do not have to worry. That's because faith was being released in the sound of her voice. She believed that I had the ability to be able to untangle a messy situation. And I want to declare today, we've been going through a messy season. COVID, it's been messy. It's caused all sorts of different issues, but God has got the ability to be able to bring us through. Amen. See, Proverbs teaches this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I remember reading that, and I'm thinking, man, you know, you'll make my way straight. Well, what does that mean? What's the practical application? You'll make my way straight. And I just felt like this. God uncomplicates the complex situations, and he makes it straightforward. There's nothing hidden around the corner with God. It's straightforward. When you ask God into your life, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get God who loves you, who cares for you, who's got the best for you, who wants to give you a hope and a future. And like this woman, the hope arose, confidence arose. Why? Because there was an assurance that the story she heard about Jesus would be true. And that made her take a step. And just like that woman, I made a step and I reached out to Jesus. And when I reached out to Jesus, I didn't know how it was going to work out. I just knew somehow and somewhere the people in church all sounded the same. Because I went to church. I wasn't a churchgoer. I'd never been in a church setting. And they were all there, happy, clappy, raising their hands. And they all had the same sound. Jesus can change your life, Jonathan. And I anchored after that. And I want to encourage you as a church. See, it was the church's love which brought me into the kingdom. It was the church's faith in Jesus that he could untangle my mess of heroin addiction and all the things which go with that lifestyle, that he could bring me out and bring me into a place of living life normal. Amen. And it were everyone had the same sound. And I thought, there's got to be something in this. And just like that woman, she set off in weakness that day, because she was incredibly ill. And I set off on my journey of faith, incredibly weak and incredibly ill. But when I reached out, and this is it, oh, hallelujah. When I reached out and placed my hands in Jesus' hands, something happened. There was a transaction. Something took place, because I remember being in a church service and I remember nothing of the preach. So I don't mind you forgetting my preach. That's okay. I couldn't remember anything. And then there was Thelma sat next to me. She goes, Jonathan. I goes, what, Thelma? Do you want to ask Jesus into your life? And I'm thinking, well, I don't really know what that means. But I goes, yes, I do. Yes, I want to. And the pastor, it was like Tigger. He was bouncing around. He was joyful. And then all of a sudden, there was like a hubba bubba of joy going all around me. I'm thinking, what's up with these people? They're all going, yay. And I'm thinking, I've just said I'm going to pray. I've never prayed before. And I don't know what this asking Jesus into my life means. But, you know, it feels good. And then the pastor went like this, come with me. And, you know, and he took me into this little back room and we sat around the table and he prayed a prayer and I prayed this prayer and I didn't know what the prayer meant and they're all happy. But what happened is when I asked Jesus, Lord, will you come in and help me? Will you come in and lead my life? Will you come in and help me? Something happened because hope. Friends, now I'm going to say this to a room who understands bars of soap. Amen. If I was in a youth club now saying bars of soap, they would all be looking at me going, what is a bar of soap? We know what the soap dispenser is. We know what hand sanitizer is. But bar of soap, we do not know what a bar of soap is. See, hope used to be, oh, and if you could just play a little bit of music in the back, it always helps. It used to be like a bar of soap. I'd grab hold of it and it'd shoot off a million miles away. And I'd try and grab hold of it with two hands and it'd go in a different direction. But that day when I said, Jesus, just help me. I need change. And just like this woman, this isn't a fairy tale. It's a true story. This woman heard and she made a journey. I heard and made a journey. Many people in this room have heard and made a journey. She held on to the corner of his coat and power left Jesus. And she felt in her body instantly, immediately she was healed. I had to go through a process. That's okay. But at that moment, healing started to work in my life. And here I am today, 20 plus years, absolutely free from heroin addiction. Why? Because I made a journey through a crowd. I made a journey through uncertainty. I made a journey through disappointment. I made a journey through not fully understanding how it was all going to work out, how it was all going to line up. But I walked through a route which led me to Jesus, and I have gone on the biggest adventure of a lifetime. I want to declare God has forgiven me. He's given me a brand new start. And guess what, friends? I needed some forgiveness. Oh, dearie me, the lifestyle I had lived. But now God's placed love, He's placed kindness, He's placed forgiveness, He's placed mercy, He's placed peace. I am living in the dream of heaven. And this morning, I believe that God wants you just to live in His dreams, because He's been dreaming about you. And He still dreams about you. He's got plans and purposes for each and every one of us in this room. And He wants you to live your best life. And sometimes our best life is traveling through mess. Sometimes it's traveling through misunderstanding. Sometimes it's traveling through, I just don't get this. But when we choose to lean into God, when we choose to trust in Him, when we choose to just say, look, will you help me through this season? All things become possible. And Vinny, I just want to declare over your life, woo, that God has got such a wonderful plan for you. That God is going to build you into a mighty man of God. I just see an awesome ministry in front of him. I see angels all around his life. Because the Bible teaches that, you know, angels are ministers to the heirs of salvation. So I bless you, Vinny, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for listening to me. God is so good, and He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen.
So, yeah, okay. Every child's special. Yes. Every child is a gift from God. And I'm just asking now, Dave, Nick, do you recognize that Vinny is a gift from God? Yes, we do. Yes, that's good. Yes. Father, we give you thanks for Vinny. Such a precious gift. And we present him to you now and commend him into your precious care. Dedication is a time, as I said, it's not where people make promises on behalf of the child. They make promises on behalf of themselves. Dedication is a time when the parents commit themselves. That word dedication, it means a large amount of time spent on something. Hard work and effort put in. Being committed to a person. Do you think that describes the role of a parent? Masses of amount of time, hard work, and being committed to the children's needs rather than our own. Dave and Nick, you are, and we as parents, are accountable to God to care for the precious gift that we've been given. We are accountable to God to raise our children according to biblical standards. Cultivating an awareness of God's love and of salvation through Jesus Christ. Do you recognize this, and are you prepared to raise Vinny accordingly?
Yeah.
As we dedicate Vinny to the Lord, will you, Dave and Nick, commit to pray for him, to instruct him in the faith, teach him to read his Bible, and encourage him to pray?
We will.
Yeah. Will you take him to church, to worship, to learn, and help him to stay in contact with the body of believers?
We will.
That was a hesitation there. Waiting for him, yes. Yeah. And now coming to you lot, as family, as friends, as church family, will you endeavor to help Dave and Nick in their role as parents to Vinny, supporting them in their God-given work? Okay, can I have a band? Go on, let me hold him properly. No, you can't have a microphone. Yes. Give him another 2 weeks and you will, yes. Yeah. I'll have to move that now, sorry. Vinny, together with your parents, we love you dearly. And these people who are witnesses, they're those who care about you and the outcome of your faith. And I want to dedicate you now to God. Yeah. Surrendering together with all the worldly claims that we've put upon your life. We're asking God to protect you, to guide you, and to reveal himself to you in the hope that you will come to know him, to know God as your Heavenly Father, Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit as your guide and helper. Vinny, we bless you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless you to be what your name means, to be victorious, to be a conqueror. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.